Rabbeinu Yoina, as being, of course, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, again in the 1200s, until it's almost hard to believe, until very recent, one of the major halachic works of Rabbeinu Yoina, we did not have the Chidusha Halacha regarding Shas and so on that we had from Rabbeinu Yoina, mostly were scattered around as brought down from his Talmidim and Divrei Rishonim that would quote Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina, for example, was the Rebbe of the Rajba. And of course, Chidusha Rajba, we have all over Shas, and the Rajba is being a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina. Also the Shittu Mekubetzes in the Masechet Bava Basra and other areas would bring pieces here and there from Rabbeinu Yoina that were heard from Talmidim and so on. And also what we had as far as Chidusha Halacha, the Musar we have, the Shari Tshuva, Sefer Ha'ira, Sefer Avoda, is in Masechet Brachos, as we mentioned, is the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, which is, of course, a very, very fundamental pirush on Masechet Brachos. But again, it's called Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, which surrounds the Rif in the back of the Gemaras. That's where it's printed. And we have there, again, the Chidusha Torah, the Chidusha Halacha, regarding Halacha, and insights, Chidushim, Perushim, Kashis, Terutzim, Halacha Lamaise, from Rabbeinu Yoina. Of course, we have Rabbeinu Yoina. What we had was Rabbeinu Yoina on Mishle and so on. These things we had. But again, Chidusha Halacha per se we didn't have. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, Chidushim brought down through his Talmidim and so on. And therefore, it is, as they say, very hard to believe that not so very long ago, in the year 1990, actually, a Sefer of Rabbeinu Yoina, which had become so fundamental in Olam HaYeshivas, in Masechet Bava Basra, it's called Aliyos de Rabbeinu Yoina, which is Daf al Daf, Chidusha Halacha, from Rabbeinu Yoina, directly from his own Ksav Yad, which is, again, just amazing to behold that such a Sefer was not around. The Olam HaTorah didn't have it, mamish, recently. It's like yesterday. And the Sefer, the Ksav Yad, was discovered by a Yid by the name of Moshe Hirschler, who was a Yid who did a lot of work on Rishonim, a big, big Talmud Chochem. He himself was a Talmud Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, lived in Eretz Yisrael. And the Sefer was printed by Mechon Talmud HaYisraeli, which the Menal is a Yid who is very well known in publishing Kitzvei Yad of Rishonim. I mean, as a Menal of a Mechon, his name is Rabbi Yeshua Hutner. And just to give you just a few words from Rabbi Yeshua Hutner in the Hagdoma to the Sefer Aliyos Rabbeinu Yoina, he says, Mifal HaGilui Shel Ginzei HaRishonim. They have basically an institution of revealing and bringing to light the Ginzei HaRishonim, the words of Rishonim, of many other Rishonim as well, that were hidden. Shemipiyam Anuchayim, from whose words we live, Higia B'Sefer Zeh L'Chiburei HaHalachosi HaGodol B'Yosef Shabbeinu Yoina Zal. Among all the things that we are involved with is the greatest chibra and halacha of Rabbeinu Yoina, Hachosid. Bal mechaber sefer shari tshuva migirunda, as we know, that's Rabbeinu Yoina is known Girunda, which is Girona, which is close to Barcelona, which is northeast of Spain, in northeastern part of Spain. Shoyitomun v'gonuz ad ato b'ksav yad, which basically was hidden. He said ad heino, till now, prior to finding this ksav yad, yodanu b'ikras toirosoi haholachosis mepiacherim. The Torah, the halachic Torah ben Yoina, the Musa we have, the Pirushim on Mishle we have, and so on, and in other areas. But and we have Pirushim and Pirkei Avos, as we went through it already, the various svarim that are printed. But the halachic chelik of Ben Yoina's contribution, all that we knew was Mipi Acherim. Hainu Machibra Hanoide, either Bishem Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina, Lebrochus, they brought down. Also, his words are brought down, Bishitu Mukubetzes, above the Basra, and so on and so forth. Then Ato Zachinu Lepirsum Chibiro Yagodol, he says. Now we're Zachar to the Pirsum of the great Chibur Hamakiv Lebo Vibasri, which is called Aliyos Rabbeinu Yoina, which the Mechaber basically brings at the end of every Sugya. He brings also the Maskonas, the Halochis. What's interesting about Rabbeinu Yoina is that he was of two schools. Because if you realize in Rishonim, there's different Drochim, or you say Derech HaLimud. Not every school of Rishonim, the difference is with the Ashkenaz Balatoises, which is, you know, that we have, and then you have, which is from the French Balatoises, and so on and so forth. The Rosh, of course, Toises HaRosh, originally was from the Ashkenazic Balatoises, Toises HaRosh, and so on and so forth, and later on, and Ram Rottenberg is from the Ashkenaz, and then the Rosh went to Spain, and then we have the Torah which was learned, the Rishayim coming from Sfard. The Rambam, for example, his Derech, who is originally from Spain, of course, his Derech is more of Halacha. You don't find Pilpul in the Rambam. Of course, the Sefer was geared for that, but again, you don't have either all too much writings from the Rambam regarding Pilpul and so on. The Rif, of course, again, Spain, Morocco, those areas. Originally started out of Morocco, then in his old age had to flee because, again, of problems in the Jewish community with Muslims and so on, had to flee to Spain. And at the age of 86, and some say over 90, he begins a new career of heading a yeshiva, the Rif. He was zeichet to extremely schus of arichas yomim, long arichas yomim that he was zeichet to have, the Rif. And the Rif, again, the Rif, you know, is a summary of halachis, no pilpul there. Rabbi Yoyna, being a Talmud of both schools, he basically was the Talmud of Balatoysis, Rabbi Shmuel Me'ivro, and he pointed also from Rabbi Shlomo Bar-Ahor, Ben-Ahor, was from Montpellier, and so on from France, and so on. And he basically combined the Derech HaLimud of Sfard, and also from France, and so on and so forth. So in Aliyas the Ben Yoyna, you find both. You find the Chelik HaPilpul, which we find in our Toysis, which is on the Daf, that's basically Pilpul, we find. And also the Maskonas LaHaloche. It's a combination of the different ways of the Rishonim, of the way they studied. And this basically, both attitudes and both Rochim were in the person of Rabbeinu Yoyna. This was his style, and you see that in the Sefer, actually, of Aliyah's Rabbeinu Yoyna. So, it's a fascinating thing. I remember in Yeshiva learning Masechtas Bava Metzia. This was probably in the early 60s. And as always, especially you're a young bocher, come to learn Tosis. Tosis is never really easy to learn. And you always try to find some assistance today. I mean, there's so many things to make life easier for you. But in those days, it didn't go like that. You had to really harp and try to find some... Unless you went and asked the Rebbe, you know, if he was in the sugi, he'll answer you. And if not, he'll say, come back tomorrow or something. He said his shir, you know, his shir klali was not necessarily on every Tosis that he himself didn't go through. And so on and so forth. So it was a tremendous thing. The Sefer Tosis HaRosh, which is on so many Masechtas and Shas, basically was such a tremendous aid in learning Tosis, because you would have similar to our Tosis, but in different words. Sometimes all you need is an extra word which elaborates. It just gives you a little bit of Havonah. So Tosis, our Tosis, which is written on the Daf, is very Bekitzer. And you open up a Tosis HaRosh, which brings the same Kasha and the same Teretz, but more words. It didn't spare any words. It didn't mince any words. And as a result, you were able to be yoyred to the real kavanas advarim. It was mamsh poshet amachai. Your eyes opened up. So the Sefer Tosis HaRosh, remember again, I'm saying in the early 60s, that was learned in Oil Ma'ishivis. It was printed from a Ksav Yad, and it had hagoyes on the bottom, had notes and comments. Who was the Moitzi Lor? Who was the one who worked on it? A yid by the name of Reb Moshe Hirschler. And I can tell you all my life, because being at that young age, to be able to find that particular aid, you know, Tosis HaRosh, it was such an amazing thing. I always thought about this person, because I felt I have a course at Toiv, Moshe Hirschler. And it turns out, as I was doing a little bit of research on the person, that he had a tremendous talent. His life's work would be to publish Kisveyad, right? Manuscripts of Rishonim, doing the work, and the notes, and everything like that, which basically was a book in all of Shas, because you know, working on Rishonim is the most difficult thing. First of all, you have to go through every daf, every word, you know, very clearly, and to show how this contrasts with the opinions of other Rishonim, and so on and so forth. So you have to be, it's a special mumchias, you know, to be able to work on. First of all, besides, you have to be able to read it, that's the first thing. But other than that, those are pleasure to understand. And there's a lot of errors which went, because it's not like today. You know, if you have one good print, you can print thousands of copies, you know, just to photograph them. There, it was given to scribes who one copied from another, and one manuscript copied a third from a fourth. So if there was a mistake somewhere, you know, it just either was repeated, or in the new copy, the new edition, the new scribe, he didn't read well, or he made a mistake. So there was therefore a lot of mistakes fell into many manuscripts, and therefore ultimately they were published in our time. So you had people, experts, who actually worked on it, and they would make corrections. The bottom, you look at the top, that they wouldn't erase anything. That's an old cloud. You keep the mistake on top, but you make a note, you know, possibly this is the way it should be. It should really read this way, and so on and so forth. As we find in Shas also like that. When you have the Hagoyas in the back, whether it's the Marshal or whoever it is, and Masayus HaShas, anything, you don't erase from the actual manuscript, but you put on the side a note, possibly Ulai Tzorech Leimer or Tzorech Leimer on the side, but you keep the original mistake, as it were, if it is a mistake, you keep it still intact. So Rav Moshe Hirschler, as I said, worked on many, many Rishonim. And it was an interesting thing that We started the Daf Yomi many years ago. It was still in the 70s. that's why Baruch Hashem won the fifth Machzor going around Shas Baruch Hashem. And I remember it was in the old shul still, not here. So to go back a lot of years in the old shul. And I just somehow think of remembering where we were up to. We were learning Misaf Tzvachim. It was a sugya of dam, of a chatos on a beged, and the whole halacha. The Torah says you have to be mechabes it, you have to wash it, and so on and so forth. It's a difficult sugya. And in walks someone with a yid, and I never saw that yid before. And he sits down in the back, of the shul. And finally, when we finish here, he just comes over, does not introduce himself. But he offered maybe a little bit of insight. He sat the last 15, 20 minutes of the shir. He has something maybe be interesting to add, to contribute. And he said, you know, you're discussing this in the senior. And again, just came off the street, and we just came into that shir. And right away, he had something to say about it, and so on and so forth. And so I said, Shalom Aleichem, who is he? His name is Moshe Herschler. So I have to tell you, it was a tremendous simcha, tremendous simcha. I can really have an opportunity to give that course. I tell you, this person that day, they wanted me one day. Leon Will brought him in because he had a big shaykh to Chicago. And as a result, that was a connection. I think he even had his achsan, he was staying by him, and so on and so forth. Anyway, then on, subsequently, that was the first time that at least he came to the neighborhood as I was aware of. But years later, he came from time to time and even spoke once Shilishudis over here. But he was a person who was quite sickly. He had heart trouble. And I remember once in Shul Shuz, he just had to get up. And I asked him, what's wrong? He says, he has difficulty breathing. So I used to have in the hall over here. Shul Shuz, those who still might remember, it was before downstairs. And he had to go outside. And very shortly, he was nifter. Relatively young man. And really great man. So I just want to read you a few words of his words in the Hakdomah, because he was the one who discovered the Ksaviyat of Rabbeinu Yoyne, as we're saying, on Masechta Bava Basra. So he writes as follows, a few lines. Avorchas Hashem b'choleis alasher gomolani b'rachmo v'broiv chasod of liyos bin Yoshe b'Beis HaMedrash. I thank Hashem for giving me the privilege being able to sit in the Beis HaMedrash v'lasek b'toirosa ha'kdoisha v'govar chazdo elai, especially HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed upon me, lasek b'hoitzoas divrei Rabbi Seinu HaRishonim, he said, hagnuzim v'hatmunim, those that were hidden, concealed, because the Yad Nelomim be'oitzris asfarim, scattered in libraries, he says, all over the world, b'pizurei tevel, will haviyom lo'er oilam, to have the schus to bring him out into the world. Ato now, he says, zikani lehoitzi sefer aliyoiz Rabbeinu Yoyne, l'mesachtes bo v'basra l'Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbeinu Yoyne, ben Rav Avrom ha'chosid migirunda, balshari tshuva v'sefer ha'yira, migidoyle reshoinim, Shehu Rav Rabbonon Masechtazu. He's the Rebbe of all the Rebbes on this Masechta. If you look in that Sefer, you see such a comprehensive Sefer on Masechta Bava Basra. Rabbi Yoyne could be called the Rebbe of all the Rebbes, because in fact, the other Rishonim that we have were either Talmidim or Talmidim Talmidim of Rabbi Yoyne. So that which we did have all along, or anyway, it all comes tracing it back for Rabbi Yoyne, as he points out. Because V'chol Talmidov, his students, the Talmidim Talmidov, students of his student, Rabbi Sein Rishonim, Noiche HaNefesh, Harajbo, Haritva, Haran, the Hamiri, Nemuke Yosef, all those, the Rosh and the Torah quoted extensively, Rabbeinu Yoyne, especially on the Inyo above the Basra, they quoted him, so they had this Ksaviyat. We didn't have it, and he writes here in the bottom, Sefer Zeh, this Sefer Aliyo is the Rabbeinu Yoyne, Hanitfas Bozeh Bepam Rishoino, Bo'oilon, the first, very first time it's printed in the world, Mitoch Ksaviyat Shigilisi, that I revealed, Berusia. Guess where he found it? He finds it in Russia. Where in Russia does he find it? He goes to Russia. He finds it Be'oitzer Hasfarim Shel Baron Ginsburg, Leningrad, Moscow. So there was a library, somebody called Baron Ginsburg in Moscow, and he goes through, rummages through manuscripts, and here he finds this Ksaviyat, and he works on it, and he prints it. So again, this is it's just very fascinating. That's such great work, and there's so much out there that has not yet been revealed, not just from him, many, many other Rishonim, and so on and so forth. Some Rishonim you haven't even heard of. Because it's not really, names are not written sometimes, therefore we have a Sefer on Kedushin called Shita Leinoid Alami. It's a Rishon, but we don't know who it is. But yet we clearly see who he brings down, who his Rabbeim were, and you know which Tkufa he lived in, but you don't know a name. But nevertheless, the Sefer is learned, V'chol Oilam, wherever people learn Torah, this is learned. Let me just tell you, one little vart of Rabbeinu Yoyne on Mishle, which is a gewaldige vart, It's a well-known pasuk. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei Chof Zayin, it says, Matzreif lekesev, v'kur lezohov, v'ish lefi mahalaloi. So Rashi explains the verse as follows. Matzreif lekesev, which means a refining pot is for silver. If you want to purify silver, the way it was done is, you put it into a refining pot, and then it was burnt out, and as a result, you're able to purify silver. So Matzreif lekesev, a refining pot is for silver. V'kur lezohov, and a furnace for gold. Gold also. If you want to purify gold, it was put through a furnace, and the impurities would be expelled. So, matzreif lekesef, a refining pot for silver, to get pure silver. And you have a furnace, kur lezohov, you have a furnace for gold. Now, what about a human being? So, the pasuk says, v'ish lefi mahalaloi. What's ish lefi mahalaloi? The purity of a man, says Rashi, lefi mahalaloi, according to how people praise him. In other words, if people say good things about him, then you know he's a good person. If you want to know the value of a person, see what the world out there says about him. The ish lefi mahalaloi. A man, the value of man is determined by what people say. In other words, if he's noyach l'shamayim and also noyach l'briyos, not enough to be ben odom l'mokoyim, he also be ben odom l'chaveroi. So if people have nice things to say about him, he's most likely probably a good person. The ish, the value of a man, lefi mahalaloi, as people praise him. Comes Rabbeinu Yoyna and says it pshat the other way around. The ish, you want to know the value of a man? He says, lefi mahalaloi, what he praises. What do you praise? What's important in your life? Do you praise knowledge? Is that important? Is that what you praise? Do you praise tzaddikim? Do you praise Torah? Do you praise education? Or is your life entertainment? Is your life newspapers? Is your life vacation? Is your life luxury? What do you praise in your life? If you want to know the person, look at what he praises, what the man praises, not what others praising him, as Rashi interpreted. By the way, it's no contradiction. Both can be true. But this is just another way Rabbeinu Yoyna says, the ish, you want to know the value of man, lefi mahalaloi, what is he praising? What is choshev by him? You can know that which is choshev by him, that is a reflection on the person himself. If a person praises El Chayidin, he praises Talmid HaChachomim, then you know that he has a shaychus to Torah. If he praises people who do the opposite, if he praises people who are into money, if things is people who are, this their success is in the material life, if that's what he praises, so you see that that's where his mind is, that's where his machshav is, that's where he's connected with. So the value of man can be found, lefi mahalaloi, according to what he praises. That which is important in your life, that's a reflection of what you actually are. And how do we know? By what you praise. By what you praise, that shows what really you are yourself as well. So this is Rabbeinu Yoyna's pshat. If we're at it already, let me just tell you, there's a third pshat in that pasuk, and that's from the Baal HaChreidim, with Lozer HaZakri, who was in the time of the Arizal and the Bais Yosef, going back in the 1500s. So he says pshat like this. The ish, you want to know the value of man? Lefi mahalaloi, according to how he davens, how he praises Hashem. Some people daven one way, some people daven another way. How much kavona, how much machshava, how much mind, how much fervor do you have in your davening? Mahalaloi means praising Hashem. So the ish, you want to know the value of a person, if you mahalaloi, take a look of how he's praising Hashem. The way that he prays the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way his davening is, that'll tell you a little bit about his Yir Shumayim. You want to know. As you say, there's many, many gadgets, you know, today to measure. You want to know how much gas in the car? Well, there's a little gauge that you look up if, under the dashboard. You want to find out the temperature in the room, so you take a look on the thermostat. There's everything to measure. You want to see how tall you are, there's something to measure. You want to know how much you weigh, so you know how to measure. How do you measure how much your shemaim a person has? What is the barometer? How do you measure? How he dumps. That's the gauge. That's how you do it. The way your shemaim to measure is according to a person how he dumps. Because davening basically means that he's connected, that he's putting, he believes that his success, his source of bracha, is in the hands of Hashem. So the more that he's ready to daven with kavana, that shows that he believes that this is the source. But if his davening really is not that important, or it's just on the surface, that means he doesn't really believe in it. His life is not really in it. He's not really connected to Hashem. Says Yir Shamayim, obviously, is that much left wanting. So Rabbi Yisai, so we move to Rabbeinu Yoyna in Nishari Tshuva. Go Rabbeinu Yoyna here in Nishari Tshuva. And being that we are a little bit, as we say, we have to cover a little bit more ground, so we'll do a little bit more text today. We are Shah Rishon in Sif Tes. Shah Rishon Sif Tes. And Rabbi Yonah goes on to tell us, V'hinei madregos rabos l'tshuva. Rabbi Yonah says that there are many different levels of tshuva. There are madregos rabos l'tshuva. And another, there's not one level and that's it. There are many levels, higher, higher, and even higher. There's a basic level, which is the lowest level of tshuva, which is bare essential. Without that, you don't have tshuva at all. But beyond the yisoy, the fundamental conditions of tshuva, there are madregas. Two people can do tshuva, and it's not the same tshuva. One is a higher level, one is a lower level. And Rabbi Yonah points out in Shari Tshuva, Lufi ha-madregas yiskara ve'odam l'kadosh baruch hu. According to those different levels of tshuva, it brings the person closer to Hashem. A person who does a lower level of tshuva, a lower level of repentance, is not as close to Hashem as one who basically achieves a higher level of tshuva. A higher level of tshuva brings him closer to Hashem. So according to the level of tshuva that he's involved with, brings him all that much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to say, V'omnam, the truth is, even though I'm telling you, Sir Ben Yoyneh, in other words, don't despair, because I'm telling you now about all the great levels of tshuva that he's going to tell you, but don't despair and say to yourself, so if I can't make it that far, says Rabbi Yoyneh, V'omnam, however, l'chol tshuva timtza slicha. Any level of tshuva, timtza slicha, there will be forgiveness. When Rabbi Yoyneh says every level of tshuva, he means even the lowest level, but there is fundamental, which you can't go beyond that. The basic fundamental of tshuva are three things. The basic three things that we know that regarding tshuva, it's charote, that you have to have regret. And then we have what is called Rabbi Yoyneh's opinion, of course, and others as well, as vidui, which you have to express the chet. And of course, and then we have azivas achet. Then you have to leave the chet. You have to abandon the chet. So it's charote for the past. Azivas achet, leave the chet. From now on, you go in the right derech. That's azivas achet, leaving the chet. It's not enough to regret it, but you have to now do something about it. So you have to now azivas achet, and then zvidui. This is the basic. This is the basic. But on this, you build further. So when Rabbi Yoyin says, any tshuva timtza slicha, any tshuva means to say is, as he says, by the way, where this is Sif Tes. On Sif Yud Tes, which is 10 Sifim ahead, that's what he points out. The basic elements of tshuva are these three things, charote, vidui, and azivas achet, leaving the chet. So that's the basic. That's, by the way, the lowest level of tshuva. You think that it's a great accomplishment. Let's face it. Halavai, we should be able to do that. It's tremendous. But that's the lowest level of tshuva. That's the basic. These three things. So Rabbi Yoyne, if you only did these three things, you will have forgiveness. However, what will you be lacking? What will you be lacking? Ach, v'yiti toher ha-nefesh toher sholom, but the neshama will not become pure. Completely, liyos va-voynos k'lehoyu. A simple tshuva, a basic level tshuva, a lower level tshuva will not purify the soul, will not purify the neshama to consider the averas as if they never were. Zulasi, except only, Kasha Yitairi, except only if a person will purify Es Liboy, the Yochin Es Ruchoy, and prepare his spirit, Kasha Yisboy, as I will soon explain. In other words, Rabbi Yoyneh wants to say as follows. Rabbi Yoyneh is telling us that the truth is, when a person does a Maisa Avera, when he sins, there are actually two things take place as a result of any avera, any sin that a person does. Number one is the maisa avera, the actual act of transgression, which a person, by the way, if you do a maisa avera, there's a cheshbon, there's going to be an accounting. There's going to be a retribution for that, unless you do tshuva. So there's the maisa avera, that's the act itself. The fact that a person was over on mitzvah Hashem, that he transgressed, he did an avera. But in addition to that, it leaves a roshim, it stains the soul. The neshama becomes sullied. The neshama becomes impure. So now when a person is embarking on the road to tshuva, what he hopes to do, what he likes to do, is two things. A, to remove the actual transgression, which is the maisa avera, in the sense to be absolved of punishment. The second thing is, he wants to clear and clean the stain. He wants his neshama to remain pure as it was before. Rabbi Yoyneh says that these things are not mutually, they do not come together. It's if you do a basic level of tshuva, said Rabbi Yoyneh, the basic level again, to have charote, and you have vidui, and azivas achet, all that will accomplish, says Rabbi Yoyneh, it will accomplish forgiveness on the aver itself, which means that you will not be punished for the aver. But your neshama still is not pure. Your neshama still is stained. In order to get the stain out of your neshama, that already requires a higher level of tshuva. Simple illustration of that would be, you can imagine a father who buys a new suit for his young son. Kid is very excited. he'd like to show off that suit. So he's running out into the street, and his father said, listen, it's a new suit, it's a brand new suit. Be careful, watch your step, make sure you don't slip, make sure you don't fall. Above all, don't slip into a puddle, because you're going to ruin that suit. Very expensive suit. Took me a long time to save up to buy that suit. I'm very happy I have the suit. Be careful. And he warned him. Kid is a kid, and of course he runs to his neighbor, and slips here, there, falls into the biggest mud you can imagine, and comes back. The suit is terribly, terribly stained. His father is really ready to punishment. Ground him, if you were, as they say today. And the kid, listen, cries and says, listen, this is... and you could see he had regretted. He said, listen, I was so excited to show off my suit. I didn't mean to do any harm, so on and so forth. So father says, you know what? I'm going to forgive you. You're not grounded. But you know what? But the suit is still dirty. The father can forgive him for the next 5 hours. The suit will still remain dirty. The forgiveness would mean that he's not going to be grounded. He's not going to punish him. But the suit is still is dirty. In order to clean the suit, now you need proper detergent. You need proper chemicals. You have to wash it properly, and who knows how long, depending on the depth of the stain. And only then the suit will be clean. The same thing is when a person does an aveira. There is the account, is the cheshbon on the aveira between him and Hashem regarding retribution, but at the same time, his neshama became dirty. So Hashem can say something, you know what, I'm going to forgive you for the aveira. No punishment, nothing, nothing. But your neshama still needs to be cleaned. So Rabbi Yoina tells us, the lowest level of tshuva only works that a person attains slicha, forgiveness on the ma'is aveira. However, he says the neshama will not become pure. The neshama will not become pure until he actually has to purify his heart. Look what he said. Rabbi Yoina says, kasha yitairo odom es liboy. In other words, the real level of tshuva to reach is to purify the heart. Because by the way, when you purify the heart, then the neshama also will become pure. The extent of how much a person will succeed, the extent of how much a person will succeed to purify his neshama depends of how much he succeeded in purifying his leif. So the more that he's successful in purifying his leif, his heart, that will cause and achieve purification on his nefesh. Rabbi Yonah goes on to say, V'chein kosev. And so, in fact, we find the Pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ashrei yodom lo yachshoy v'ashem lo yovoy. He says, praiseworthy is the man to whom Hashem does not ascribe sin. In other words, that's a great accomplishment if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not ascribe sin to your file. Ashrei yodom, again, praiseworthy is the man that lo yachshoy v'ashem lo yovoy, and that Hashem will not ascribe to him sin. And the Ein Beruchai Remio, whose spirit there is no deceit. There's no deceit. There's no deceit in his spirit. In other words, he does it tshuva gemura b'leiv shalom. That's what it means. There's no deceit in his spirit means that he does it tshuva gemura b'leiv shalom. And by the way, and that you need higher levels of tshuva, as Rabbi Yonah will go on to explain. In order for the neshama to become pure, basic level of tshuva is forgiveness on the ma'is aveira, no retribution. But for the neshama to become pure, that you need higher levels of tshuva. And you need purity of heart. And that's what you have to work on, as he's going to point out. Now, it's an interesting thing. You might notice that when we, in the davening, we say in the Tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Soi R'Secho, Kraveinu Malkeinu Avoy L'Secho, and then we say, V'Hachzireinu B'Shuva Shaleimo L'Fonecho. The Bein Shalem, Hachzireinu, return, give me the ability to return to you B'Shuva Shaleimo, in a complete tshuva. So, if the tshuva is not shalema, if it's not complete tshuva, so what kind of a tshuva is it? What does it really mean? What's the meaning of tshuva shalema? From Rabbeinu Yoina, now we can understand it. Because there is a basic tshuva that a person can do, only the three things, as we said, aziv esachet, abandoning the aveira, vidui and charota, but that will only achieve slicha from retribution. But the neshama still will be stained. We are asking Hashem, give us the siyata d'shemaya, give us the ability, give us the yisayiris, give us the motivation, and give us the aid. Tshuva shalema means that even our neshama will become pure. That's called tshuva shalema. That's a complete tshuva. It's not just being absolved from retribution. That's the lowest. That's not a mandraga. That's some person who's worried about his own skin. Yeah. Don't punish me. Don't punish me. And I don't really care what happened. As long as you don't punish me. That's quite a low level. A person has to really be concerned, be sensitive. The purity that needs to be taken care of. And that's the Hachzireinu B'Shuva Shalema L'Fanecho. To have the neshama also to come back to its original state of purity and its pristine quality prior to the Aveira. So it goes on to say, and the example, says Rabbi Yoina here in Shaar Tshuva, that I'm giving you, regarding the stain on the neshama, you can understand it regarding a beged, a piece of clothing, similar to what we illustrated. Ukinyan ha beged ha tzorech kibus. The neshama, one should view the neshama similar to a beged that needs to be laundered. Because imagine if you only launder a stained beged, if you only launder it partially, what are you going to achieve? Well, ki ha ma'at min ha kibus, if you only launder it, right, just minimally, yoil boy, it will accomplish lehavir, he says, hagoyal mimenu. It will only remove the surface dirt. A simple laundering will only remove, which is called the dirt on the top. Ach lefi roiv hakibus islabe. But if you wash it really intensely, then it'll even turn white. Ah, so in order for the beged to turn white, that needs already a very, very serious type of a cleaning. Otherwise, you're only going to remove the dirt surface. So here, says Rabbi Yoina, the same idea is by the neshama of a person. So therefore, you need roif kibus. In order for it to turn white, you need a lot of laundering to get the beged back into its white state. Vechein kosuv. So we find, similarly in Tehillim, we find reference to what we are saying, because David HaMelech says in Tehillim, he says, Herev kapseini, he says, ma'avoini. He says, Herev kapseini, Herev from Loshen Harbe. David HaMelech says, wash me thoroughly. What is he saying, wash me thoroughly? Because we say there's different levels of tshuva. If you want your neshama to turn white, if you want the neshama to become pure, it's not enough to receive forgiveness from retribution. We want to purify our neshama. So, Herev kapseini. Herev means harbe, wash me a lot. Wash me thoroughly, ma'avoini, from my aveira. And the Mela says, Rabbi Yoina, what will determine whether your neshama is washed or not? It determines the purity of your heart. The more purity, the more tahara a person brings into his heart, that will carry itself further into one's neshama as well. That's what he says. V'hu kabeis ha-nefesh min ho-avoyim. He says, the extent of how much the nefesh will be laundered, will be washed from the aveira, kifi ashet echabeis es libo. Which means, we learn from here, that the tachlis of tshuva is to be metayer the leif. The tachlis of tshuva is to be metayer the leif, and taharis hanefesh is connected to taharis haleif. That's what we see from Ben Yoyim. Taharis hanefesh is connected to taharis haleif. So the tachlis of tshuva is to achieve taharis haleif. Because through taharis haleif, a person will achieve, and he will have taharis hanefesh. Shenemar. We find, for example, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Kabsi meiro'o libech Yerushalayim. Cleanse your heart from evil. Libech, from evil. So what do you see? What is the emphasis? Purification of the heart. That's what Rabbi Yoina is pointing out. That our tachlis of tshuva, our career of tshuva is to see that our heart becomes pure. It's not enough that no punishment. That's a low level of tshuva. It's also, it's tremendous. But that's not our goal. Our goal should be much, much higher. Because through purification of the heart, that will determine that our neshama as well will become pure. But Omru Rabbi Yisena Zechoyin Lavrocha. Therefore he says, Chazal, our Rebbes have told us, Masechet HaSavid Zorah Daf Yutes. For example, one of the ways to achieve this, one of the ways, we see that to achieve a higher level of tshuva, that's Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the man, Yorei Es Hashem Boidoi Ish. That's how Chazal Darshan. Ashrei Ish Yorei Es Hashem, so Chazal Darshan Boidoi Ish. Little translation means, praiseworthy is a man who fears Hashem when he's a man. Now, as a man, Ashrayish, happy is a man, Yari is Hashem. What about a woman? Same thing. Woman also is just as praiseworthy when she fears Hashem. Why the emphasis on Ish, a man? What's the Pesuk saying, Ashrayish, Yari is Hashem? And a woman not? Why Ish? Just say, Ashray me. Whoever is a Yirei Hashem, whoever has Yir Shemayim is Ashray, he's praiseworthy, should be happy. And the Pesuk is Ashrayish. So Chazal say, you know the word Ish means? Not man versus woman. Ish means when you are still in your youth, when you still have the power of man within you. Don't delay your tshuva. It's a hemshech of what Rabbi Yoni said in the previous shurim that we had. Chazal say, Ashrei mi Ish means ba'oide Ish, roitze loymar. What Chazal are meaning to tell us, ki tshuva so odam ha'me'ule, the higher level of tshuva, The tshuva hama'ula means the higher level of tshuva is what? B'yamei b'chureisav. That is at the time when he's still a bacher, so to speak. Bacher doesn't mean dafka unmarried. B'chureisav means in his youth, in his younger age. B'oid koichoi olavi is gaber al yisroi. When a person is already so old, his yetzer hara is so weak, there's no temptation, tshuva is also accepted. But however, he has not shown that he really, really did tshuva. Because it's very possible he's only doing tshuva, you know why? Because he doesn't desire anymore. He doesn't have those desires, doesn't have those temptations. You know, I might as well do tshuva. Might as well live a different kind of a life. And Hashem accepts that also. But that's not really the high level of tshuva. That's not the goal. The goal of tshuva is when a man does tshuva, when he's able to turn his life around when he's still young and he has all the desires, the same desires as everybody else has. And what he always had. Yet he's able to dominate, to control, and to subdue those desires, and channel in the right direction. That is the ultimate tshuva. Ashrei ish yirei Hashem. Praiseworthy is a person who does tshuva when he's still an ish, means in his youth, with all the temptations, with all the challenges of life, and he's successful. That is a true bal tshuva. Rambam says it the same thing. That the tshuva gemura, says Rambam, peg beis of his tshuva. As a matter of fact, Rambam says if a person, let's say, slipped, and he fell into a trap, let's say some area of immoral behavior. And Rambam said the true test of tshuva is when he meets up with that particular woman in the same spot, under the same conditions, with the same desires, and he holds back, says Rambam, right? Boise mokim, boise, with all the same conditions. And that is the real test of person showing that he really became a bal tshuva. The person's already older. His total life changes. His desires changes. His needs change. And he does tshuva, it's not, again, as great as it would have been when he does tshuva at a younger age. So that's the real ultimate level of tshuva. However, Ochen says Rabbeinu Yoina, again he said, because don't despair, don't say that, you know what, I missed the boat, because I didn't do tshuva at my younger age, there's no such thing, you never missed the boat. Ochen, however, call tshuva mayila. Even though I'm telling you about all the great milos of tshuva, and I'm telling you set your goals, but if you can't, or you didn't, he says, nevertheless, every tshuva, any level of tshuva is accepted. As the pasuk says, and we say this in the davening, Toshev Enoish Adako. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reduces man to pulp. Toshev Enoish HaKadosh Baruch Hu reduces man to pulp. V'atoymer, and he says to man, he sends him a message. Shuvu b'nei yodom, do tshuva. In other words, Rashi on that pasuk explains, what does it mean, Toshev Enoish Adako? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send Yisurim to a person as an alarm. As an alarm signal, telling him, you don't read your messages. You have to be able to read your messages. It's like French, it's some different language to you. You have to be able to read the message. And Tochev Enosh Adaka, Rashi's Loshen is, I'll quote you on that posik. Rashi says, Mevi ato yisurim. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you bring yisurim al odom, ad sha ato machziroi lio is toshush koichoi. Person becomes sometimes so weak, v'kor of lomus, his mamish on the throes of death. Wake up, he says. That Toimeloi be Yisurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to him, through these Yisurim, what is Hashem saying? Says Rashi, Shuvu b'nei yodom midarcheichem aroim. That's Rashi on that posik. That's the quote with the Shar Shuv is quoting here, that posik. So, Toshe v'enish adako, v'omu rabu seinu z'choin l'vrocho, and Chazal have explained it. What does dako mean? We said, to a pulp. Well, what it means is, dako means adichducho shel nefesh, even to a point where someone's nefesh is already crushed. You know what? Do tshuva even the last moment, the very last moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that tshuva well. A sincere tshuva is always accepted. So this points out Rabbeinu Yoina. So again, this is just setting the stage, by the way. This is what Sif Tes, Rabbeinu Yoina here is setting the stage of saying what the goals of a person should be, but at the same time to reach all the higher levels of tshuva. And again, Rabbeinu Yoina said, the higher levels of tshuva, there's a number of situations. Number one, you come closer to Hashem. The greater the level of tshuva, you actually come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you connect closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it goes hand in hand with the fact is, because the greater level of tshuva, your neshama becomes pure. By the way, it's one connect with the other. Because the more stained your neshama is, the more barrier there's between you and Hashem. I'd expect to come close to Hashem. Change your clothing. Put on proper clothes, you know. Your neshama has to be somewhat pure. The purer your neshama, the more you are able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greater the stain on your neshama, the greater barrier that stands between you and Hashem. So Rabbi Yoni says, purifying your nefesh, a simple tshuva will not accomplish it. You have to have chemicals and detergent. spiritual detergent, spiritual chemicals to purify that neshama. And then you'll be able to come all that much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now he points out as follows. Ho'ikar ho'risher. But he only goes down with, and this goes on and on. I mean, about, 20 ikrim or so, maybe because more, of tshuva. Different ideas Rabbi Yoni here promotes to us. Ho'ikar ho'rishin. The first thing he says, in the inyan of tshuva, a person who wants to do tshuva is hacharota. The first thing is to have regret. Without regret, there is you haven't come to first base. He says, ho'ikar, the main thing, ho'ikar ho'rishin, is hacharota, the regret. Which means Yochin Lavodoy, a person has to have his heart here ready to accept that. Ki ra umar oizvoyes Hashem. The charota consists, it's very interesting. Rabbeinu Yoni here also explains what regret means. What does regret mean? I regretted it. Where do you focus when you say I regret doing an Aveira? Rabbeinu Yoni clearly says is that regret regarding an Aveira we're talking about. Regret regarding an Aveira is not only. It's not only that you regret doing a maise, doing an act that was not good. Regret means that you regret through the maise that you abandoned Hashem as a result of doing that maise. That's where the nekudah, that's where the focus of the regret is. Regret is not only, I regret doing the Aveira. That's one part of it. But even more than that, in addition to regretting doing the Aveira, I have to feel bitter the fact that I left Hashem. I abandoned Hashem. Look at the words again. Again, every word of the Rishonim, is medugdik. It's like a way of counting. Every word is medugdik. Again, Yovin, it says, Yovin Lavavoy, he says, Kira Umar Ozvay is Hashem. You see these words? This is where Ben Yoyne puts the emphasis of Charote. You learn Rishonim, you have to realize it's not just arbitrary words here. Charote is not just having Charote. Usually we talk about Charote, I regret doing the Aveira. About it, that's very important. Definitely. But Rabbi Yoni puts another emphasis here. It's not just you regret doing the Aveira. You have to feel a regret that you have abandoned Hashem. You have distanced yourself from Hashem. That is a higher and a more lofty ideal. And puts you in the right place, puts your mind in the right place to understand. You have to realize how bitter it is. You have to realize how bitter it is. That's what he said. How bitter it is to have left Hashem. Ki rav omar. It's bad and it's bitter. That's the regret. That's how the regret is supposed to... That's the hargosha, that's the feeling that he left Hashem. V'yoshiv eliboy. And this goes further and he says that a person should really take the heart, he says. He should take the heart. Ki yesh oynish v'nokom v'shilim alovay. A person also has to realize, in his charot, he also has to realize that there is retribution. That there's no hefker. It's not free for all. You have to realize that there is oynish, there's retribution on the aveira, ki inyin shenemar, as the posik says, in Parashas Hazinu, li nokom vishilein. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, to me, mine is the vengeance and retribution. And v'nemar, there's a posik in Iyev. What does Iyev say? Iyev says, guru lochem ipnei cheres. Fear the sword. Why? Ki chema avoinois chorov. In other words, fear the sword, because the wrath against sin brings the sword. So these are the punishment. The sword comes as a result of sin. The wrath against sin will bring sword. So that's where the sword comes from. That's why you have sword. Do you want to know why there's sword? Sword because of sin. Guru lochem mipnei cheref. Ki chema avoinois, he says, choref. That's what brings that. So Rabbi Yoni points out here, by the way, notably says, v'yoshiv eliboy. It's another thing. Again, we said this many times, and here he emphasized it again. V'yoshiv eliboy means take it to heart. Many things we know intellectually, but we don't absorb it in our heart. You don't live with that. You don't live with that hargosha. Things that you know, sometimes can be in the back burner. It's only if you ask someone about it, they'll bring it back to the front. But otherwise, it's something they don't think about. I can know 500 things, but it's not in the front of my mind, it's in the back of my mind. I can know 10 phone numbers. Do I think about them? No. If somebody's asking me, yeah, I'll be able to tell to you. When you come to tshuva, it's not enough to know all these things. Your heart is supposed to feel it, which means, so you're feeling it. Same way that you feel hot or cold, right? Person knows if he's hot or he's cold. He knows right away if he's uncomfortable. You feel it. Your heart is supposed to feel this attitude. The harota is supposed to be something that you take to heart. As he said many times in the Bala Musar. Well, Pian Shadron used to repeat it. He says, how far is it from the mind to the heart? Well, depends how tall a person you are. What would it be? 2 feet? 3 feet? 1.5 foot? It's millions of miles. From knowing here to coming to here, he says, is millions of miles. You really have to work at it. That's something that you know intellectually, to bring it down into your heart, that's something you have to work at. Because when it's in your heart, it's something that's really part of you. It's alive within you. And that's the attitude that you have regarding these elements of tshuva. V'yedato hayoyim, says the posik, v'ashevoyso elavovecho. Take that yediyah that you have in your head. It's not enough to keep it in your head, to know it. But v'ashevoyso elavecho, bring it into your heart. And that is a big avodah. It's a big distance from the two. As Rav Sholem used to say many times, everybody knows that there's a tremendous distance from not knowing to knowing, right? There's millions of miles of difference. He knows, he doesn't know. Can there be more than two opposites, greater opposites? One person knows, one doesn't know. There's a tremendous distance and difference between not knowing and knowing. Said Ibn Musa, the same distance from knowing to bring it to the heart is the same distance. The same distance, the same gap. From not knowing to knowing, everybody realizes, it's total different. Diametrically opposed, not knowing to knowing. Two different people, knowing and not knowing. Knowing and bringing it to your heart is the same distance that you have to cover to bring it into your heart, that which you know in your head. You know it in your head, but you're not living with that idea. It's not part of you. It's not part of your life. You have to bring it alive. Then it goes further. He says, V'yizcharet almaso, v'roi. The person should have charote, he should have regret on his evil maisim. V'yoyim rebovovoi. And he should say in his heart. In other words, he should say in his heart means he should really go through it. He should really go through it. V'yoyim rebovovoi. It should be something very practical, amaisa, me osisi. He says, what did I do? By the way, starting from here, from the Yom HaBavavoy to the end of the Sif, you'll notice there are seven steps. Interesting, seven steps. You'll have to count them yourself, but I'll point it out as we go. He doesn't say one, two, three, four, and here, over here. But you find seven steps of ideas, one higher than the other, to bring a person to what every step of the way, what else he has to be mindful of to reach the top level of tshuva. So he starts, this is the first step, as we're pointing out, the charote. And he says that, he does that, v'yoyim ubovovoy me osisi, or mo osisi. He says, what did I do? He says, what did I do? Lo'hoyo pachad elokim l'neged einai. If I did an aver, it means that the fear of Hashem was not in front of my eyes. Now again, these are Rishonim talking here. You know what you take out of these words? We take out of these words like this. We take out of these words like this. He says, "Me'osisi eich lehoya." He says, "Pachad elikim leneged einai," which means as follows: we always think tshuva. Again, you focus on the act, on the avera that I did. So now I want to do tshuva on the avera, which you have to do tshuva on the avera. Rabbi Yonah is putting another extra focus. When you do tshuva on the avera, you also have to consider the root of the problem. You don't just want to treat the symptom. If you did an avera, there was a sibah. There was a cause that brought you to do the avera. You know, in many, many cases, in most cases one might say, you did not have the fear of Hashem in front of you. So when you're doing tshuva, go back to the root. Had you had the fear of Hashem, the true fear of Hashem upon you, then you would not have done the avera. At least you would have had more ammunition to fight off that avera. So that's what Rabbi Yoni says. In your career of tshuva, in your vocation of tshuva, he says, in your process of tshuva, you say, Eich lehoya pachda lekim leneged einai. How that I did not have the fear of Hashem. And you realize, by the way, the fear of Hashem, it goes into many ways. It's also the physical sense. Because the fact is, Hashem, there's accounting, as we said. There are oinshim ba'olam hazeh also. And a person disregarded all these oinshim, all the various retribution. And a person, of course, when his body hurts and he suffers, he knows it and he feels it. And yet he was not concerned about that. He was not concerned about oinshim shamayim. He had no pachad alikim. In other words, a person like left his life as if everything goes by nature, everything just goes by rote, and everything just happens by chance. And that's what the posik, by the way, I'm pointing out, which is mentioned. A posik, which is, we know, that when in the Teuchacha, where a person comes to the attitude that things are a mikra, you don't feel, you don't see it in front of you, that whatever you do, there's someone up there watching over you, and there's going to be a mida keneged mida. Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with you in the way that you yourself have conducted yourself. So you did not have that pachat. That was not real in front of your eyes. In addition, also, v'lo yagarti, I did not fear, you say to yourself. When you're doing tshuva, you're saying, how come I did not fear? Mitoichochois alovoim. I did not fear the admonishment, the admonitions for the avera, he says, umin ashfotim aroim, and from the severe judgment. I was not afraid. I did the avera. I was not concerned about all these things. By the way, when it says, I did not fear the toichochois alovoim, I did not fear the admonitions, that could mean one of two things. As we said before, many times Hashem sends Yisurim or messages, painful messages, sometimes more, sometimes less, to warn you. You're driving your car. All of a sudden, you realize you didn't notice, and the car goes over an icy path, and the car skids and turns around five times, and you make it, you're okay. So you say, thank God I made it, and you go further. There was a message there for you. There was a message there. Something said, thank the Rabbi Shlomo that nothing else happened. But there was a message. It didn't just happen, you swerve. It was a message. Maybe if your oil burner breaks down, and now you incurred an expense of $500 to replace it or to fix it, there's a message there. These are things that are happening in your life, and yet you have to be able to read your messages. And you say to yourself, maybe I have to take stock of the way I'm leading my life. Maybe there's things that need to be changed. So you say to yourself when you're doing tshuva, I did not heed these admonishments. I did not heed it. When I'm doing tshuva, I'm reflecting on my past behavior that brought me to the point that I actually sinned. And I'm saying, v'lo yagarti, I did not heed those toichochos. Or I did not heed the admonishments that the Torah says, that if you do this and this, this might happen. And so, this might happen. That might happen. I did not heed all that. Ki rabi machoivim l'rosho. The Pasuk says, in Tehillim, a rosho has many, many different pains and ailments. Vachomalti al gufi. Person's supposed to say this in his heart. He's supposed to go through this. I did not have pity on my own goof. Every person's first interest, most cases, he thinks about himself. You did not have pity on your own goof. When you're doing an Aveira, you are actually not having rachmonis on your goof because you are going to bring the wrath of Hashem upon you. And you didn't care about that. V'chomalti al gufi, v'chosso eini olov mishichasoi, my eyes did not see and have pity from destroying it. Destroying my success, destroying my hatzlocha. All because of what? Why did I sin? All because of what? Mipnei hanoas rega echot. Because of an avera, of a pleasure that takes 1 minute. Yeah, listen, 1 minute, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's all relative. It's nothing. For that, you're going to destroy success, your life, yours, your wife, your family, your children, and sometimes eternally, if you don't wake up, if you don't do tshuva. All for the pleasure of a moment. This world, it's all a moment, that's all. In the scheme of time, it's a dot, or less than a dot. So for the hanoah of 1 minute, to destroy eternal life, destroy eternal success, and he goes further, v'nim shalti. And the person says to himself, this is the whole procedure. Tshuva is an avoda. Tshuva is a process. Tshuva is an exercise. Don't say tshuva. Yeah, now we have a different idea. Shari tshuva. Many are telling us. And you say to yourself, this is going to go through this. So then you say to yourself, you know what I was considered when I was living my life of sin? The nimshalti, I could only be compared. Le'ish sheyigzol v'yachmois. Imagine a person that's going to rob. He's going to steal. And then he's going to eat, and he's going to become satisfied, right? He robs and he steals. And the yadeya, and he knows, imagine, a person who robs and steals, and he knows, that after when he finishes eating, and after when he finishes drinking, the judge will break his teeth with gravel. So was it kedai? Was it really worth it? Was it really worth it to rob and steal, and to eat and drink, so you gain the pleasure, the moments of pleasure, of eating and drinking? But then comes the judge and he breaks your teeth. And you did it. Nevertheless, you did it. Was it really worth it? At the end of the day, make a cheshbon. That represents me, says Rabbeinu Yonah. That's what the person's supposed to put himself into that picture. You are that person. You are that person when you're doing an aveira between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the person who robbed and he stole in order to be able to eat and drink, and then the judge comes and breaks his teeth. No. So what did you gain? So where are you at the end of the day? Where did it take you? Where did it lead you? Ki'in shenema. As is mentioned, Beferish says in Mishle, In Mishlei it says, Arev le'ish lechem sheker. It's an ironic thing, Shlomo HaMelech says. For some reason, bread of falsehood is sweet. There is something in our nature, in our beastly nature, that bread of falsehood is sweet. Something about it. It tastes somewhat better. Maim genuvim yim toku. Look at the pasuk again. Arev le'ish lechem sheker. It is arev. Lechem sheker is something that is sweet to a person. But then the pasuk says, but after he filled his mouth, chotzotz. What happens is, his mouth will be filled with gravel. He says, so again. So was it really worth it at the end of the day? And yet this is what you have done to yourself. So we're going to stop here as we say, till next week at SACC to do justice. And we find out that tshuva is not such a simple situation. Yes, every level of tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu, something, it means something. But as we see, in order to be able really to achieve it properly, it is something you have to work at it. It is no different than anything, any profession that you're going into. Sometimes, look, it takes 4 years, right, to get your degree. Well, you know what? It takes a little while to get the degree called a diploma. You have done proper tshuva. That may have to hang it on your wall. Why don't you have this diploma? They send you down to the Shemayim diploma. You have proper tshuva. You have to work at that degree. You have to work at it. And the only chiluk is, when you succeed, so then you have eternal bliss. Then you have, of course, schar, which is always forever. We talked about HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending messages. Let me just conclude you with a very interesting little maise. There was several years ago in Eretz Yisrael, in Petach Tikva, there was a non-religious teenager. His name was Daniel, or Danny Shapiro at that time. Danny Shapiro grew up in an unreligious home, and he became inspired by a particular madrich, a particular leader of a local neighborhood youth group. And so Danny asks his parents to allow him to attend yeshiva. His parents strictly and very clearly were opposed to any yeshiva, particularly in that yeshiva that Danny chose, because, among other things, it was far from home. And the parents didn't want him to go to that yeshiva. But eventually, due to the largely assurances of the madrich, the leader, so the Shapiros, they consented. Now, on the one hand, Mr. Shapiro, he did not belittle his son. That was his son's choice. Listen, he wants to go to a yeshiva. He did not belittle him. But he couldn't understand his son's infatuation with learning Torah. He just couldn't see. He saw that simcha on his life. He just couldn't understand it. And over the next few months, so Danny extended numerous invitations to his father to invite him to come see the yeshiva. Come see where I am. This is where I spend my time now. Come and look at the yeshiva. He refuses. He does not want to go. Come see the yeshiva. Come see the staff. Come see the talmidim. But he said, but Mr. Shapiro refuses. Come at least for one Shabbos, he says. So then he says, come at least, he says, for one Shabbos. He would plead, his father would not hear of it. And the reason was simply because when the Shapiros came to Eretz Yisrael, he was very young. Mr. Shapiro was very young. And since as a child, there was no religion practiced in the family. So he was very, very distanced. But finally, after many months of prodding and pleading, he decided to come to the yeshiva for Shavuos. Shavuos, Danny was very thrilled that his father is coming for Shavuos, because he knew that the Shavuos atmosphere in yeshiva is like none other. It's a blend of learning and it's festivity. There's everything. There's Gashmius and Ruchnius on the Yontif of Shavuos. And his father would see for himself what the Torah life is really all about. So Mr. Shapiro arrives. So his son explains to him that after the Yontif meal at night, the night of Yontif, after the meal, it's customarily that you go and you spend all night and you learn Torah, which is a custom, of course, in many, many places. And he just couldn't believe it, the sight. He never saw so many people, students, all night, and also in the neighboring rooms. And other people from the community throughout the building would come. There would be all kinds of shurim on all levels of knowledge that yeshiva held for people to be able to take part in the learning of Shavuos. His father was very, very impressed just to see this thing. After the learning, so it was time to go to sleep. Some of them want to go to sleep, some would go daven, whatever it is. But one of the staff members gave a bang on the table that in the yeshiva here, after the learning, we have a little rikida. We dance around, the circular dancing. They dance for about 10 minutes. And before really the conclusion of this study session, we say a little bit of Tehillim. And they said posik by posik, verse by verse, and the posik that they decided that the yeshiva decided to say was Kapitel Kuf Yutes, which is the longest, by the way. which has 176 psukim, 176 psukim. But the idea of that capital, basically, expresses all the spiritual perfection that a person can gain through learning Torah. If you go through Kuf Yutes, all the Alephs, all the Bezes, all the Gimels, that's the way it has been constructed. It basically brings out the tremendous, tremendous perfection that a person is able to attain. It talks about the tremendous gains that a person gains through studying Torah, and the love of Torah, and so on and so forth. So they go through Pasuk by Pasuk. Interesting thing, that everybody really has knowledge without looking into a translation, but this is Eretz Yisrael. Mr. Shapiro lived in Eretz Yisrael, he knows Hebrew perfectly. So when they said this Kapitel Tillim, so somehow he says he felt waves of emotion swelling around them. They said, Baruch Ato Hashem, Lamdeni Chukecho. Blessed are you, Hashem, teach me your Torah. Derech Sheker Hoser Memeni. That's Pasuk 29. Remove from my way a derech of falsehood. Penei alai v'choneini, turn to me and favor me. David HaMelech says later on, Palgi mayim yordu enai, my eyes shed streams. Aloi shomru Torah, because they didn't keep your Torah. Words of encouragement. Karasi b'cholev aneini Hashem, I call to you with all my heart. Please answer me, Hashem. Then there's a posik. Tehi yodcho lo azreini, let your hand be ready to assist me. Ki pekudecho b'charti, because I've chosen your precepts. And so on. By the time they finished, this Mr. Shapiro, he was sort of like sweating all around. And all of a sudden he faints, he collapses. And this is called a big stir, a big confusion. They revived him. And they said they're going to call a doctor and so on and so forth. He was embarrassed at what happened. But he smiled and he said, listen, I'm really all right. He says that what happened was, he said, was the last posik. He says, what did it to me in Kuf Yutes? The last pasuk in Kuf Yutes that really hit him hard, the pasuk says as follows. It's tough, because it goes according to the Seder of Alabes. And the last pasuk says, Pasuk 176, by the way, it's 176 psukim. So pasuk 176, Ta'isi kise oyved, I've strayed like a lost sheep. Bakei shavadecho, seek me out. Ki mitzvaysecho lo shechochti, I've not forgotten your commandments. I've strayed like a lost sheep. This pasuk, Ta'isi kise oyved, Moshe Mordechai Epstein, Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka in Europe, and then in Hebron, he said a tremendous thing. There's a big difference if you lose a sheep, or a sheep strays, or if someone loses an inanimate object. You lose a wallet, or a piece of clothing. You know what the difference is? If you lose your wallet, the owner, whoever lost the wallet, will go out searching for the wallet. But the wallet itself does not make a move that you find him. It's an inanimate object. It's an object that just stays there and is waiting to be found. It can't speak or move on its own. If a sheep is lost from its flock, not only the shepherd goes out to look for the sheep, but the sheep desperately is trying to find its way back. Says David HaMelech, Ta'isi, I take a strayed, maybe I strayed. But I want you to know Hashem is kiseh oyved like a lost sheep. My heart really yearns. It yearns to find my way back to you. And therefore, Bakei Shavadecho, I hope that the search is successful, because Kimisvesecho L'Shechachti. It was that pasuk that he heard and which brought him back. You never know what is going to do it for you to bring you the proper Hesiris. But Hashem continuously sends a lot of messages. We should only be zoiche to hear our messages and to do proper tshuva.